Chapter 2. Not all tasks are created equal. Takeaway. Not all tasks are created equal. There are certain tasks in your work that, for every minute you spend on them, let you accomplish more than your other tasks. Taking a step back from your work to identify your highest impact tasks will let you invest your time, attention, and energy in the right things. Meditating for 35 hours. I learned the hard way how important it was to slow down and work more deliberately when I abandoned my meditation practice. So I decided to conduct an experiment to get to the bottom of just how much meditation and slowing down impacted my productivity, and designed an experiment to meditate for 35 hours over 6 days. As a seasoned meditator, I was no stranger to meditating for long stretches of time. Before the experiment, I had meditated for 30 minutes every day for several years, practiced meditation with my Buddhist meditation group every week, and attended an occasional meditation retreat where I lived in total silence for days at a time while meditating with other attendees for 5 or 6 hours every day. 35 hours of meditation in a week would be a lot for even our old friend the seasoned monk who takes an hour to do anything, but I was too curious not to do it. To spice things up, throughout the week, I also performed the same simple chores and tasks I would usually undertake, but in a mindful state. While running the experiment, I tried my best to remain as productive as possible during the time when I wasn't meditating, so I could observe the day-to-day effects of meditation on my energy levels, focus, and productivity. Over 6 days, after live streaming a tally of how long I meditated for each day, I performed 14.3 hours of sitting meditation, 8.5 hours of walking meditation, 6.2 hours of mindfully doing chores, and 6 hours of mindful eating. Measuring productivity. One of the most interesting parts of this project was how circular it was by design. Being productive about studying productivity is, in a way, like writing about writing. But first and foremost, a year of productivity was a research project, and to me, having a productive day meant learning as much as possible and sharing what I learned with readers of my blog to help them become more productive too. When I started a year of productivity, I created a fancy landing page on my website that contained live updating charts of exactly how many words I wrote, pages I read, and hours I worked each day. It's still live at alifeofproductivity.com/statistics. My thought behind the graphs was simple. The more I wrote and read, the more productive I would be. The problem with these metrics, as you might have guessed, is they only tell a part of the story. If I worked all day long and wrote 1,000 words, I would be considered productive under these metrics. But what if I intended to write 2,000 words and only wrote 1,000? What if I couldn't focus all day long and wasted hours watching cooking shows on Netflix? What if I felt totally burnt out at the end of the day? What if those 1,000 words were worthless? The entire Gettysburg Address, after all, was only 272 words. A month or two into my project, I realized my mistake in designing my website's stats page, a mistake I think people make all too often with productivity. I had essentially reverted to a factory mindset and equated productivity with efficiency instead of looking at how much I accomplished. Once I set aside that mindset and instead focused on how much I accomplished, my productivity skyrocketed. I think the best way to measure productivity is to ask yourself a very simple question at the end of every day. Did I get done what I intended to do? When you accomplish what you intend to, and you're realistic and deliberate about the productivity goals you set, in my opinion, you are productive. If at the beginning of the day you intend to write 1,000 great words and you do, you are productive. If you intend to finish a report at work, ace a job interview, and spend quality time with your family, and you do, again, you are perfectly productive. If you intend to relax for the day, and you have the most relaxing day you've had all year, you are perfectly productive. Intention and deliberateness are two sides of the same coin, and I think both are essential if you want to live more productively. Asking myself whether I accomplished what I intended to was the first of two ways I measured how productive I was over the course of my project. The second was observing how each new experiment or productivity technique affected my ability to manage the three ingredients of productivity. Time. I observed how intelligently I used my time, how much I got done throughout the day, how many words and pages I wrote and read, and how often I procrastinated. Attention. I noted what I focused on, how well I focused, and how easily I was distracted. Energy. I scrutinized how much drive, motivation, and overall energy I had, tracking how my energy levels fluctuated over the course of an experiment. Naturally, these variables are much more subjective than whether I accomplished what I intended to accomplish. My productivity experiments triggered me to study the research when I noticed how a topic affected how I spent my time, attention, or energy. I'm skeptical by nature, so I leaned on science as much as possible to explain my results. Plus, the science behind this stuff is fascinating. Working smarter. While my meditation experiment helped me to improve my focus more than anything I had tried up to that point, the experiment had another effect I hadn't anticipated. It let me manage my time better because it made it much easier for me to identify what was important, which let me work smarter instead of just harder. The reason I found it easier to work smarter during this experiment wasn't because of the meditation practice itself. It was simply because I had so little time to get work done that week. During the experiment, I continued to write articles and read as much as possible, but since I had so little time to do it in, I frequently had to step back from my work to reflect on whether the writing I was doing was important and worth doing. With so little time, it was my only option. A similar thing happened during my experiment on 90-hour work weeks. This led me to one of the most obvious in hindsight epiphanies. Not all tasks are created equal. Put another way, there are certain tasks in your work that, minute for minute, lead you to accomplish more. This is true regardless of where you work or what you do. Take, for example, tasks like planning out your week, mentoring new employees, investing in your learning, pushing back on meetings without an agenda, saying no to as much busy work as possible, automating repetitive tasks, and looking at pictures of baby animals. More on cute baby animals later on in the audiobook. Minute for minute, you accomplish more doing these tasks than you do through tasks like attending pointless meetings, keeping up to date with social media, checking your email repeatedly, reading news websites, and participating in idle chit-chat. The more time, energy, and attention you invest in your most significant tasks, the more you accomplish in the same amount of time and the more productive you become. When meditating for 35 hours a week, I had about 20 hours outside of the experiment to get real work done, which meant that if I didn't determine what my smartest tasks were, I wouldn't have accomplished what I intended to that week. That forced me to step back from my work to carefully plan my week so I could make the most use out of what limited time I had. At some level, everyone knows that not all tasks are equal. Most people can see that they will accomplish more working on doing their taxes for an hour than watching a movie. But as the cliche goes, common sense isn't always common action. Just because you know something to be true doesn't mean you'll act on it. Even though acting on what you know is exactly what you have to do in order to become more productive. Your most important tasks. A task, project, or commitment is important for one of two reasons. Because it's meaningful to you, it's connected with your values, or because it makes a large impact in your work. Activities that are connected with your deepest held values will lead you to be happier and more motivated, and activities that are primary to your work will let you become more productive in the same amount of time. If you're lucky, you'll have tasks in your job that are both meaningful and effective. How close or how far your job is from working in a factory or an assembly line will determine how much control you have over this. Whereas a factory worker has to work on whatever he's assigned, an entrepreneur can work on whatever she wants. As a quick aside, I don't consider either type of task better or worse, since everyone values meaningful work and money differently. As I began to think hard about how I spent my time, I quickly realized how much productivity I was leaving on the table every day, not because I wasn't working hard, but because I wasn't working hard on the best possible tasks. I wasn't as productive as I could have been because I had never sat down, determined the highest impact tasks in my work, and deliberately worked on those tasks. Instead, I had been spending my time on the items that happened to fall onto my to-do list. I think this realization speaks volumes to how valuable this project became for me and for many of my readers. When we're hunkered down in our work, we often aren't able to step back to observe how smart we're working. Keeping productivity in mind for an entire year led me to many realizations like this one, despite how obvious some of those insights are in hindsight. You may already be familiar with the Pareto principle, often referred to as the 80-20 rule. The rule says that 80% of some result comes from 20% of some cause. For example, 80% of your sales come from 20% of your customers, or 80% of all income is earned by 20% of the people. I think this rule can be applied to productivity as well. A very small number of tasks lead to the majority of what you accomplish. Productivity isn't about doing more things, it's about doing the right things. After my meditation experiment, I took the time to step back from my project, make a list of everything I was responsible for, and pick my most important tasks. That's when I discovered something fascinating. I accomplished the most through just three main tasks. In order, they were 1. Writing articles about what I learned during my project. 2. Conducting productivity experiments on myself. 3. Reading and researching about productivity. Naturally, I had other things I was responsible for as well, like website maintenance, sending email newsletters, interviewing experts, managing my social media accounts, answering email, and coaching people on becoming more productive. But it was through the preceding three activities that I accomplished the most by a long shot. All my other commitments led me to accomplish less in the same amount of time, and most of them could be eliminated or compressed, which I discuss later. The Impact Challenge. Estimated time to do the challenge, 10 minutes. Energy and focus required, 8 out of 10. Value, 10 out of 10. Fun, 8 out of 10. What you'll get out of it. You'll discover the highest impact tasks in your work, which will show you where you should invest the majority of your time, attention, and energy. Before you invest in increasing your productivity, it's crucial you determine which areas you want to become more productive in. This simple activity will help you do that. This challenge also lays the groundwork for the rest of this audiobook. Thankfully, you don't have to meditate for 35 hours in a week to determine your highest impact tasks. I have experimented with innumerable techniques to help me organize and prioritize my tasks, and while some systems worked well, most quickly fell by the wayside. Prioritizing everything you're responsible for might sound like a pain, but people make it out to be much more complicated than it actually is. Out of all the challenges in this audiobook, this one is one of the most important. After all, it's difficult to become more productive when you don't first take stock of what you should actually be more productive on. My absolute favorite technique for prioritizing what's important comes from Brian Tracy, who wrote the book Eat That Frog. Brian, who has a similar view on high-impact tasks, says in his book that, quote, 90% of the value that you contribute to your company is contained in just three tasks. Brian recommends a linear process to identify your highest-impact tasks, projects, and commitments. His method is quite simple, and I've modified and expanded on it a bit to make it more helpful. 1. Make a list of everything you're responsible for in your work. This part of the activity takes the longest, but it feels incredible to get everything you're responsible for onto a sheet of paper in front of you, or into whatever your preferred digital equivalent is. There's a good chance you haven't taken a moment to step back and think about everything you're responsible for in your work on a weekly or monthly basis. 2. After you've collected a list of everything you're responsible for, ask yourself, if you could just do one item on that list all day, every day, what item would you do that would allow you to accomplish the most with the same amount of time? Put another way, what item on the list is the most valuable to your boss or yourself, if you're self-employed like I am? 3. Finally, ask yourself, If you could do only two more items on that list all day, what second and third tasks let you accomplish the most in the same amount of time? These three tasks, or four, if you have a fourth that's as important as your top three, are the 20% of your tasks through which you contribute at least 80% of your value. Value is the operative word here. Unlike your most important tasks, your most purposeful tasks may not necessarily contribute a lot of value or meaning to you, but they contribute an incredible amount of value to your productivity. As I began to deliberately and intentionally invest more time, attention, and energy into my highest return tasks, my productivity shot through the roof. Working smarter instead of just harder is impossible without first stepping back from your work, and that's what this section of the book, Laying the Groundwork, is all about. After you've begun to lay the groundwork by determining your smartest tasks to work on, what comes next? Working on them, of course.